podcast is brought to you by the 99 Network, New Michigan's premier spot for all your local podcast needs.
The following podcast is Biblical Conversations for sinners, by sinners. Eddie and Hayden are not qualified, are not pastors, but they have a passion for Christ and his teachings. Welcome everyone to Theo Lydians.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, life happens.
You know? Life does happen. Life happens way too much, way too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to be way too much and way too fast. Welcome back to another episode of Theo Lydians.
Yeah.
For sinners, by sinners. Biblical conversations. It's fun. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It has been a while. A lot has happened in these past few weeks, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Easter happened. We're into the end of April here.
And, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. What else? We're gonna get into a lot of it. How have you been?
I have been pretty good. Yep. Wife and I are looking for a new house.
There you go.
We decided about 3 weeks into looking for a new house that we were not gonna buy a new house. We were going to build, because shopping for your forever home is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
you know, we found a couple houses that were exactly what we wanted, but there was a few things that were like, I really don't want to put in the years amount of work it's going to take me to fix this one problem, you know, so I'd rather just build right off the bat. That way we can choose the land we want and everything, choose our neighbors. So and then we got some friends as well that might we're planning on buying a big piece of land. We have some friends that might buy an acre or two off of us as well and be our neighbors, so we can definitely choose our neighbors at that point.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. Have a whole Cobbley compound.
Yeah, right. A whole little subdivision, you know. So
yeah.
So that's in the works right now. Just praying for that and just hoping that that'll come to fruit and that we'll be able to move into that in the next year or two or whatever. But you know, we're in no rush. You know, we're trying to put the Lord first and make sure that we're doing everything right, praying over it every day and just making sure that what we're doing is the right thing. But yeah, I mean, life is going good with the kids and everything. Dax is 2.5 now.
Dang.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's,
time absolutely flies.
Yeah, he's running around, talking. Charlotte's 6 weeks old now, doing great. Freaking me out at night because she groans while she's sleeping. So I'm like, I don't get barely any sleep, but I get good sleep. I feel rested when I wake up because I guess I don't feel anxious about the baby all night, you know? So I feel like I'm rested when I wake up, but I don't get nearly as much closed eye time,
gotcha.
You know? So the anxiety is not there, you know, because I mean, that's a huge thing with having a baby. It's like,
yeah,
are they breathing?
Yeah.
You know, but things have been really good. Things have been going well. Been praying for a lot of my friends and stuff like that. Been helping a lot of people get a lot closer to Jesus. I have a lot of army buddies who are getting baptized. It is wild how many people I deployed with are coming to Jesus. It is awesome. At least once every 2 weeks, I'll get a text message from somebody I deployed with a video of them getting baptized.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, that's so cool. I got one 2 days ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah, from a guy I deployed with who... I never really knew his religious background, but I always knew that he's a man's man. He's a man's man. I mean, he is the type of person that's like, if you were to say the wrong thing to his wife, you would be on his hit list kind of guy.
You know?
And he would fulfill that. You know,
is that the one whose name is a letter?
No, his name's Jared.
Oh,
no, no.
Okay.
G is also like that. Oh, very okay. Similar.
I didn't want to call.
Yeah, no, G is also getting a lot closer to Jesus as well. If you guys don't know, G is one of my very, very best friends from deployment. He's always been a good, faithful Christian, but recent times in life have got him a little closer, and he's getting really close every day, more and more, and it's awesome. Reading the Word, asking me questions about it. I told him, I said, hey, start with the Gospel of John. and he downloaded the YouVersion Bible app, texted me the next day. He goes, explain to me why you told me to start with the Gospel of John. And when I opened up the Bible app, the first thing opened was John chapter 1. And I said, maybe because Jesus wants you to start in John chapter 1, maybe. but yeah, I mean, like, things are going good. The Lord is moving in some crazy ways. I know you got some crazy stuff in your life going on. I know the Lord's working his magic in your life as well. Some, like, it might not seem like it sometimes, but
yeah,
he definitely is. But yeah, let's hear a little bit about that. Like, what's going on with you?
Today is 43 days of no alcohol or nicotine.
Let's go. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's huge.
It's been a wild journey, and I never realized that. I know now, like, alcohol, just, you know, drinking beers was literally the one thing keeping me from achieving the rest of my goals.
Mm-hmm.
This entire month, I've been getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and exercising, and then doing language studies, and then getting into my Bible and doing devotionals and reading.
And that's then awesome.
I get, after that, I'll listen to a podcast or a book on tape, and then I get housework done, like laundry, dishes, whatever. So my house has been the cleanest it's been for the longest period of time.
I bet Tiffany's happy.
Yeah. She's very happy. It helps, you know, cluttered houses, a cluttered mind. So it's been very peaceful. You know, even with a bunch of stuff happening, Tiffany, her cancer came back with a vengeance. The tumors grew so large and so fast that it twisted her remaining ovary 3 times over.
Oh, wow.
And she was just in incredible pain.
Yeah, she's all twisted up.
Yeah, for a couple of days. So they got her down to Henry Ford. They removed the remaining tube and an ovary. And then they scraped something off her uterus, and she was like, just take it all. Like,
get it all out. Yeah.
At this point, just take it. And they're like, no, you know, we're going to test and yada, yada. Okay. Well, 2 weeks later, the test came back, and it's a very aggressive, malignant cancer. So they're like, oh, well, we're going to go back in and take the rest now. But now we have to wait 6 weeks for you to heal.
Oh,
and everything.
My gosh.
She's like, son of a gun.
Right. Could have just done it earlier. Yeah.
So that's kind of unfortunate. But she's feeling much better now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. She's back to work this week. So that's good. She loves her job.
That's good. That's good.
Missed everybody.
How's the family doing?
Good. Good. We were for Easter. We had Easter Sunday. That was a lot of fun. Went to sunrise service, 6:30 a.m.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I remember you texted me.
Yeah.
And I was like on my way to buy service, and you were like, hey, just got done with service. I was like, what? I was like, dog, it is 8:15 in the morning.
Yeah. And then they had a breakfast after. That was nice. They put on some eggs and sausage and biscuits.
That's awesome.
And stuff. Yeah, it was good stuff.
I love an Easter brunch.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had that, and then dinner at Don and Rogers at the Acres there.
Oh, nice.
Everybody showed up. And,
cool.
It was a good time. It was real cool. It was, Tiffany's Uncle Dodd has been struggling trying to quit smoking. And we were talking about it, and he's like, hey, I noticed you haven't hit your vape in a while. And I was like, yeah, man, it's been like 3 weeks. And
that's cool.
He's like, no way. How'd you do that? I've been trying to quit smoking, you know, and this is,
you got a good Dodd impression.
And, I said, man, it was Jesus. I said,
yeah,
I swear. And I told him the whole story, and
oh, awesome.
He's like, well, that's wild. I don't know if that's going to work for me, but
oh, it will.
He's like,
it
that's will. Wild. Yeah,
he's got to believe.
And so I helped him download the YouVersion app, because he was talking about reading the Bible and doing stuff, and we got
talking
more about Jesus, and he had an offline Bible app, the King James version of it, and that's all that it was.
Yeah, just the King James version Bible. Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I said, this is a little more, because he doesn't like technology or anything, but it was super cool. I tried to show him like how intuitive and simple it is.
And how helpful it can be for you. Yeah.
So we got him downloaded. I was like, here, you can do daily devotionals. I got him signed up because he wanted to read the entire Bible. And I was like, my favorite way was reading it chronologically. And it helped. It put a lot of things into perspective and made me understand more of what I was reading when the story made sense and was in order. And he's like, that sounds really cool. He's like, do that. So we started him up with a chronological Bible in a year, and he likes to listen to it.
Yep.
So I showed him. I was like, you can play, you know, play, yeah. and then it'll play.
Yeah, you can change the voices, do different dramatizations.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And so he's like, that's really neat. And it was.
That's really neat.
Yeah, he's like, four days later, he called me, and he's like, man, I got to tell you, I'm on day 10. He's like, it's only been 4 days. He's like, I've been burning through this. He's like, this is so cool. Thank you so much. Yeah.
That's awesome. You got a really good Dodd impression.
Thanks. Yeah.
Honestly, Uncle Dodd.
Yeah. Down from Louisiana, Mississippi.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. I always used to, anytime I used to imitate Donna, which is Smeeg's mom, I would always do like a Southern accent, and he would always, she's not that Southern. I'm like, nah, Don's got that. Don's got that twang. She got that Southern twang. Yep. Yeah, you can really hear in Dodd when he comes up and starts talking. Yep.
Well, Donna's been helping us out. She helped me, Tiffany and I, build a budget.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. And so we're really...
Well, that's what she does, right?
Yeah. That's for the state of Michigan. Yeah. She helps with the budgets and finance and everything. And she's like, you guys really need to take control of your finances. And it was what was funny is
spoken
that,
like a true mother-in-law.
Well, no. And what was funny is a day or two before... Cause I was like, man, like we've got this amount of debt, and then the taxes came back, and we owe on taxes, and I was like, I'm gonna, you know, and Tiffany was off of work for a long time, and so we're trying to get back into the swing of things, and I was like, Lord, I said, I literally give my finances to you. I said, please help me with this.
Take care of it.
The next day, Donna just out of the blue was like, hey, I want to help you guys build a budget so you can get back on track. And I was like, all right, man, like, let's go.
So the Lord spoke to Donna and said, hey, your son-in-law needs some help.
Yeah. So she helped us. I built a spreadsheet. And so she's like, order stuff from here to here, write everything down and like take everything that you get in the month and make sure you put this much away and you're given this much. And so I broke it completely down, and it's like, well, I literally have no idea how I was spending $400 a month on alcohol and nicotine.
It just happens.
But I was.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is probably why I'm so far behind. I was like, holy cow. I didn't realize that was ruining everything. Yep. You know, your priorities. So we figured that back out. And so I've been paying things down, and I feel like I'm in control of my life for the first time ever.
That's awesome.
It's really wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so with Tiffany getting better, and then Colin's been doing really well. He won, he was student of the month.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was super cool.
He got
voted by the staff and the teachers and everything.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. And Colin, then, of all kids.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Son, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's so cool. He got that. He was very proud of that.
Yeah, he should be.
He got, he's been winning. So he's on the esports team at school.
Yeah.
And they switched from Mario Kart to Fortnite now.
Oh, nice.
And so he's just been dominating. He loves his fork knife, he calls it.
Fork knife? Yep.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy always called it fork knife. Back when we would drink a lot, he would always text me and be like, you want to get drunk and play fork knife? I'd be like, yep.
Yeah. So he's been doing really well at that. And then he found out he's the third strongest person in his school yesterday.
Oh, wow. Like weightlifting? And
so a Marine came yesterday and was talking to the school and doing demonstrations and stuff. And he had a box full of concrete. It was like 50 pounds or something.
Yeah.
And they were doing military presses with it. And so he's like, if you can do 50 military presses with 50 pounds, he's like, you win a prize.
Yeah.
And so there were only three kids in the school who could do it, and Colin was one of them.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
He got 55 times
on. Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah. It was this really cool Marine water bottle with a shaker.
Oh, nice. Like a blender bottle.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
He was stoked about that.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, he's been doing well, and then Shelby's been doing well. It's her last week of the semester. And then I think she gets 1 or 2 weeks off, and then she's doing the spring semester. So,
nice.
And working and everything. So she's just plugging away at school. And
how many more years she got left?
I think because of her spring and summer, she should have one more year and have her bachelor's.
Nice. And then she's still going.
Yeah, because she wants to be a nurse practitioner. Yep. So.
She wants to get all that.
Yeah. So she's pulled a bachelor's out within 3 years because she's just been constantly.
Just grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Nice. I looked at going back to school. I actually filled out a FAFSA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They won't give me any money. They were like, we can give you a loan, but you don't qualify for Pell Grant anymore.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't have any money.
What were you thinking about going back to school for?
For theology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to study because I've been studying on my own. I was like, it'd be kind of cool to like get
some structure.
Type of credit for it.
Right. Like, yeah.
You know, that is, acknowledged by other people that maybe I could put to use somewhere.
Yeah.
Cause I looked into, Concordia, Van Arbor, which would be the closest. And then because I still have to finish my bachelor's, but then I was looking into seminary as well, which would be super cool.
That would be awesome.
But that's a whole life change. You know, affects everybody moving and all that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause that's like 2 years you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And, so I don't know. And I had a good conversation with Marcus today. Who he was like, I have the degrees, and I use 5% of them. He's like, so just keep doing what you're doing. You're fine. Like, he's like, just learn, you know, keep studying your languages and learn. And he's like, just do that. Like, you'll be fine.
I've heard that from a lot of people that they say that, like, yeah, like getting a degree in theology and going to seminary and all that. And like, yeah, it helps. It helps. But like, you got to put in the work yourself, you know, to study scripture and everything. You know, it's like I've noticed that like some of the people who haven't gone to seminary or anything like that sometimes have the best wisdom, it seems like, because they've just dedicated so much time to just reading the Bible. Or like one thing I tell people all the time, I've probably read the Gospel of Matthew in the past year and a half. Probably I've read it probably, I don't know, 10, 12 times, I'd say.
That's awesome.
I just love it. It's one of the books that I just always go back to. I mean, it's highlighted all over in here. I mean, it's all over the place. But every time I read it, it's like it's something different. It's like I realize something different, or I'm like, what? When did that get written? That wasn't in here last time I read it.
Yeah, that was something I heard on one of my podcasts. I started watching and fell into. A faith in the life.
Okay.
That's this lady on YouTube, who has gone through seminary, has the degrees, her husband's a pastor, and has grew up, like, she knows her stuff, and it's really cool.
But yeah.
She talks about it very relatable, and she kind of gears more towards like the wives of pastors and mom life and stuff, but there's still a lot of just biblical everything.
Yeah.
And one of the things she was talking about was in different seasons in your life, she's like constantly, you know, reread and read. And she's like, I read the Bible once a year, essentially by doing all of my studies, not like cover to cover, but
right. Yep.
You know, and she's like, each time I go back, depending on the season or what I'm going through at that moment, she's like, I discover new things. And I'm like, man, I've read this 7 times and it never spoke to me that way. And that happened this morning, with John 4, I was reading through, or John 1:4, excuse me. And I was reading through and I was like, holy cow, like that hit way different, like knowing and just I feel like the, you know, Holy Spirit opens your eyes, let them see. They have eyes, let them see. And it's rereading scripture now is vastly different than how I've read it before, because it's like, holy cow, I understand much more than I used to. And there's still a lot of things that I don't, which I really want to get that Tyndale Bible Dictionary and then go through it. And it's like Faith was talking, she was, that's where I learned about it. And she's like, it will take you an hour to get through a verse. She's like, but you will go deeper than you have ever gone because you'll be able to really learn more and more. And I was like, that's fascinating.
Huh? Yeah. I love it. Like before I came to Jesus, I would go to church, like Catholic mass for like events, you know, for my mother-in-law is Catholic. So anytime there was like a church event, like my wife and I would go with her. And I remember sitting in there, like I'd hear the priest talking and everybody standing up and I would be like, wow, this is like cultish, you know? I always thought that, and I never understood what they were saying. It was like, they would sit there, they would be on the altar and they would be speaking English, reading out of the Bible. And I'm like, dog, I remember trying to listen. I'm like, what are you even saying? And then I turned to Jesus, and then all of a sudden those words made sense. I started to understand what they were saying. And it's so weird how, like, before Jesus, like before I came to Jesus, you could give me this Bible and I'd read through it and I'd be like, what? You know? And now that I love Jesus and I'm a follower of Christ, I look through it and it's like, every little thing, you know, I want to read, like every word, and I'm like, I'm hooked on it, and I understand it. Don't get me wrong, I don't understand everything, not even yeah. close.
But you understand it better than
A lot better. I went from zero understanding to maybe 1% understanding.
Yeah.
And that is like... that
life changing.
Yeah, that's the equivalent to never boxing in your entire life to boxing for an entire year, and then those two people fight each other.
Yeah,
I'd say that's pretty close to the equivalent. But yeah, so it's like if you know 1% of the Bible, you're already doing better than a lot of people. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's, I don't know. And even though I think I know a part of the Bible, like there's verses that I love. And then I hear it put into a new perspective, and I'm like, wait a minute, have I been looking at this all wrong? You know, it's like stuff like that. Which, don't get me wrong, it's like a lot of, it's hard. Sometimes I find myself like worrying too much about the way I interpret a verse, because it's like some people will interpret it this way, some people will interpret it that way.
Yeah,
and I don't know which one really is right. And I'm like, man, like what, how do I do this? And I was talking with Heath, who's the leader of my disciple group. And I said, I think I'm starting to gain better discernment in which I can tell what's the truth better because of the fruit, essentially. So like there's some people I watch on YouTube and they'll say a certain thing that I'm like, wait a minute, does scripture really say that? Or is that really what that means? And then I'll, of course, go down the Google rabbit hole. And I'll, like, some people say it does, some people say it doesn't. But then what I'll do is I'll examine the fruits of that person who has spoken, like, that said that verse. Or I'll examine the fruits of that person that I was watching. And if their fruits don't coincide with what they're speaking, I know not to believe them. I know that they're probably either, like, a false prophet or... Okay, so, like... For example, like if I were to come up to you and start giving you a verse, okay, I come up to you and I give you a description of a verse, like my interpretation of a verse. And then as soon as I'm done giving you that description of a verse, I pull out a flask out of my pocket, take a drink, and then pull out a joint and take a hit of the joint and walk away. The next person comes up to you, gives you that exact same verse with a similar interpretation, but a little bit different, and then sits there afterwards and talks with you and doesn't do any of that stuff. Who are you going to be more, like more inclined to listen to? Obviously the person who's, preaching, practicing what they preach. You know what I mean?
Got it.
And yeah. So I've noticed a lot of times when I hear somebody say a certain thing, I'll almost kind of like, especially if it's somebody with a lot of influence on like social media or a politician or, you know, an influencer or whatever it is, I'll examine their fruits. And that right there, within 5 minutes, I'll be able to know if I'm going to keep watching this person or not. You know, like there's a girl, I don't even know her name, but she's on YouTube and she preaches the gospel and talks about Jesus all the time. And, she was saying some pretty compelling stuff about the right here. The wise and foolish builders. I already had it open. That's crazy. but basically Jesus is explaining, hey, if you take these principles that I'm giving you and put them into your life, you're like a man who built his hill on a rock, who built his house on the rock. The wind blew and it didn't come down. Those who listen to my words but don't put them in their practice is like a foolish man who built their house on the sand. The winds came and it crashed down. And she was kind of explaining it like that. And I was like, I was like, I'm gonna check your fruits just because I'm kind of that guy. I'm not judging or anything like that, but I want to know that like you're the person I should be listening to. And I went down this rabbit hole of looking like for this girl's information, but just finding her history, you know, to make sure that this influencer was someone I should be listening to. She, I think it was like 3 years she had an OnlyFans and, made so much money on this OnlyFans, so much money on like doing in the porn industry and stuff like that. And then like a year ago, she deleted everything and gave her life to Jesus. And her OnlyFans is still up. I watched a podcast with her in it, but her OnlyFans is still up, but there's no content on it. But the OnlyFans has to still be up because people paid forward for like subscriptions. So like she has to, she still is getting paid for her OnlyFans until like the end of 2026. But
okay,
but there's no content on it.
No, yeah, you know? She's not making new content. Yeah, it's like you can't cancel it because somebody's already been
paid for it or whatever. Exactly. Which,
yeah.
But there, even the people who paid for it, there's no, they can't see anything because she deleted everything.
Oh, she deleted everything. Gotcha.
So, so right there and then I knew, I was like, okay, this is someone I want to listen to, because if she was talking about that, but yeah, she still had an OnlyFans and she was still doing all this stuff, I'd be like, I'm not really going to listen to you. But somebody who did have an OnlyFans and did do all this stuff and like consciously got rid of all that and turned away from all that, that's somebody I want to listen to, you know?
So that's it's a very emotional take on it, which is, it's kind of cool because I had a similar experience, but more like logic academically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, again, watching this, the Faith Womack on there, and she was talking about translations and different things because I had, and I think I've even said it in our podcast. And then when I was talking to Uncle Dodd too, cause he was like, well, King James Bible and everything. And I said, well, you know, I don't know this, there's the NIV and the
ESV,
NLV and the ESV, and the ESV is what I read.
I've been reading the ESV a lot.
Cause like that's what the Lutherans have are reading.
It's just like, okay, straight translation. And I like that a lot.
So, and that's what I've said, because that's how it was explained to me. But then learning Greek and Hebrew over the last month, there are many words that are like, well, this word can mean like
this, that, and this.
Like if you take love too, there's different words for love that mean different things. And so depending on what that word is, and then what's preceding or, you know, or after it or before it or whatever, and then who's the author, where are they coming from, what's their, you know, what's the year was this, what was happening in, so there's so much that goes into it that she, being able to witness that within learning the language, and then Faith was like, so to say this translation is the best translation is really bad because there are so many different ways to say a word.
Right. There
that,
is, yeah.
That, you know, what says in the King James is going to be different than what's in ESV versus what's in NIV. And you see that there's these differences.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all of them are kind of right. Like there's a different interpretation. And then when you read commentaries, when you read somebody's theological commentary, like I'm reading the Christian Dogmatics, is Franz Pieper's kind of commentary on Luther's works and the Bible and other things. And so you can see different people's theology and their different perspectives, and how they interpret the Bible. And while they're all very, very similar, and it's like when Marcus today was reading, he read NIV and I was and I was reading ESV, they were both saying the same things, but the grammar was kind of reversed and some words were another, but it was almost the same thing.
Yep.
And so it was for sorry, it was a rambling thing.
No,
but
you're
it was
good.
It was interesting that when you were talking about translations and should I be listening to this person and what they're
right,
like that was it was sparked me of like, oh, that's interesting. That person's interpretation based on their theology.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, but it was a very emotional versus academic way of looking at it. So that's kind of cool that we had the same
thoughts,
revelation in the last week, but from different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Absolutely. And like, don't get me wrong, like I will, oftentimes I'll ask Google, hey, what's this verse mean?
Yeah.
And Google AI always seems to have the answer, but sometimes I'm still like, I don't want to trust Google AI because like, what if AI is the Antichrist? then the Antichrist is giving me the answers to the Bible. That's not what I want, you know? So, but that's all conspiracy, but whatever. But yeah, I like to do that. Like, there's a guy, Cliff Nechtel. I watch a lot of him. He's a Christian apologetic, and he goes to college campuses and he basically goes, all right, like His bit is called Give Me an Answer. So he stands there and sits there like mic'd up, and people ask him questions and he answers.
Is that the older guy?
He's older, yeah. His son comes out and helps him, yeah.
Okay, I think I've seen him, yeah.
He's skinny and he's got his hands out like this, talking like that.
Kind of looks like the Kmart version of Bill Nye.
Yeah. He's got a bit of a witch nose. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he's super intelligent, and you can just tell he's been practicing apologetics his whole life, because he can turn anything around on somebody. But he doesn't turn things around. He just kind of
makes you think.
Always makes you think in a different way. And I watch a lot of him. And there was a guy I watched, George Janko. I watched him for a bit. His fruit, like when I was talking about the fruit before, his fruit is what kept me from wanting to watch him for a little bit. But since then, he has now like renounced a lot of his old ways. And so it's like I didn't know this, you know, so shame on me for not giving him the chance, you know.
Yeah.
He's a lot more famous than I am, so he doesn't need a chance for me, but you know what I mean. And so now I listen to him because like he was talking about swearing and all that stuff. And don't get me wrong, we all swear, and it sometimes you slip up, but like getting back from deployment, I swore all the time. I couldn't help it. And I just told myself, oh, this is a part of me. This is who I am. Then I came to Christ, and slowly, without me even realizing it, I started swearing less. And now I'm kind of making more of a conscious effort to not swear.
That's the same. You know, it's almost...
I'm feeling conviction of the Holy Spirit, because like I'll say the F word and I'll be like, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Or I'll say, like somebody will, or I'll get mad and like during a road rage situation, or I'll be like, oh, what the F are you doing? And then I'll be like, crap. You know, I shouldn't have done that, you know?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have... I let my anger get to me and made me sin. You know what I mean? So it's like,
that's actually, I forgot I had put notes in that Galatians 5:6.
Oh,
I
just finished Galatians last week.
That I've been reading. I read that in my daily prayers. Yeah. 5:16. Because
so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh.
Yep.
They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. And that's how I kind of been like, well, I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting anybody. Well, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. I know. And then he keeps going. I was like, wait a minute. Hatred. Discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the biggest one to work on for me anyway, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so that I've been reading every day and going over and just really trying to be like... You know, a pretty girl walks by and I'm like, you know, it's I have to like consciously be like, don't look at the butt. Like,
yep.
I'm literally trying to be better. Like, okay. Yeah. And so much so that even when I'm reading and somebody swears on Facebook or something, it's like translated in my head to be like, that frickin' guy did. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Uh-huh.
I've gotten made fun of by so many of my army buddies because I just say like frickin' or fudge and they're like, who are you? And I'm like, stop it. You know?
Yep. It's been quite a change.
You mentioned earlier, you were like, oh, I can do what I want. I'm an adult. And I know you're just using it for whatever word I'm trying to say. But anyway, I heard a very interesting thing the other day. It said, when does God or Jesus, God and Jesus, same thing, ever call you an adult?
Yeah, we are all children.
All children of God.
By being baptized, we are children of God.
Yeah, and I was like, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
Here I am thinking I'm all grown up.
Well, and that's the thing, and it's Marcus was talking about it a little today on how we, at least I think it was Marcus, or I've listened, that's a problem, I listen and read it, everything so much this morning that how we speak to God Oh yeah, because he was talking about the grandness of words and everything. But we, you know, God is our Father.
Yep.
And how would you talk to your father? How would your father talk to you?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, like straighten up, quit swearing, like quit being a degen, quit being a degen.
Literally, quit being a degen.
Yeah.
You pervert.
Yeah. Yeah. And literally, like, that's the similarities of like, okay, yeah, we're children in Christ, we're children in God, and we need to. Like, remember that, well, our father told us, like, don't do this, don't.
Yeah.
And we can disobey him, but there's consequences.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's wild. And, like Marcus was saying earlier about prayer, because we had the...
Our prayer circle or...
Bible study today, and it was focusing on prayer and really taking the time and being, like...
Being just present with God.
With God and with prayer. And... He said, you know, you may ask for things and they may not happen because God has a plan. And what really hit me is when I read something or heard something recently about this of like somebody was like, well, you know, I prayed to God and this didn't happen. But God says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can ask this mountain to move and it'll move. And the person was like, well, yeah, but God is your father. When you ask your father for everything, did your father say yes or no? Right. Like, did he say no sometimes to things? And you're like, oh, snap.
God, your prayers, like, your prayers are always answered.
Yeah. Or did bad things, like, did bad things happen, you know? And your father had to be like, yeah, like, that's, I'm sorry, I can't help you in that, or this isn't, or I'm not gonna, like, this is, you know,
You got to do this yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was it really brings it back to relationship, and it's so much so of like he really is my father and I need to obey him and I need to listen, but like I need to understand and discern. That was a great word you used earlier, was the discern. I need to discern between like why these things are happening and what is happening, and that I can't truly control anything.
Yeah.
I can only control my reactions to things. That's it.
There's a really good, I think it's Psalm 46, verse 10. Right here. I just passed it, I think. I got to make sure. Yep. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I love that because, like, you were just explaining, like, and all this stuff craziness going on, like, you literally, if you just be quiet for a second and put your faith back in God, because it happens all the time where you're trying to control your own life, you know, and then you just have to hand it over for just a second. Just be like, oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? And just be still and know that I am God. And like just that verse gets me going. It's like, you are so right. You are God. Like, what am I worrying about? You know what I mean?
That's what Marcus had even said. I wrote down the quote he said from him. He was like, faith is all powerful and grows when you take it off yourself and put it on God.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yes, he did say that. That was really well said. Yes. I remember you were writing that down too, and you looked over at me. You were like, I got notes for the podcast.
Yeah. Marcus is a great pastor.
He is. He's awesome.
Super. It was really cool to watch him teach today. That was the first time I've ever seen him like in the wild.
Oh, really?
Teaching. Yeah.
Marcus in the wild.
Yeah. It was cool. It was very neat. He's an extraordinary individual and very, very intelligent.
He is. He's a very smart man. Yeah. I feel way underqualified to talk to him sometimes. Like, I feel like I'm like, you're so much smarter than me, but you know,
I don't know how much I can say from knowing him for as long as I've known him and like working with him and everything. There was this Marcus, and then there's like Bible Marcus, and he's the same person. It's very different and very humbling when like you see him and like, oh, he's known this the entire time and he was studying this the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy cow, like this dude is way more layers than, you know,
He reads a lot of books.
Yeah.
Like, he really does. Like, I mean, he loves reading.
Yeah, dude's awesome.
He loves knowledge and information. And if you guys don't know who we're talking about Pastor Marcus at Radiant Church in Bay City.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't been there, you guys should go. It's a great church. It's Eddie has even stopped by and come to our services before, too. Twice now.
Well, yeah.
One and a half.
I'm old and lame. It's way too cool for me.
There's lots of singing. And dancing.
Yeah. And fog machines. And
yeah, that's true. We do got fog machines. We're gonna go to heaven and God's going to say, fog machines, dude? Really? I'm going to be like, hey, man. Hey, fog machines.
Yeah.
He's going to go, fog machines.
Yeah. I'm much more old school. But I do appreciate the more intimate Bible studies and stuff like today. That's super cool.
I love that at Radiant Church, I could walk up to anybody in there and be like, hey, can you pray for me? And they wouldn't even know me. They don't even have to know me. And they'd be like, yep. 99% of the people in there would be like, yeah, I'll pray for you if you ask me to, you know? And people are always willing to talk. And like people there are just like, you can't slide through the cracks there. You know, like I feel like in like your traditional like Catholic service or Catholic mass, you show up there on Sunday, you sit in whatever pew you sit in, you know, you say hi to the people who usually sit by you, you know, and that's it. You leave, you go have brunch with your family on Sunday or whatever. But like Radiant, I walk in and I see Aaron and I'm like, yo, I haven't seen you in a whole week. What's going on? You know, it's like, how has your week been? And I see Troy, give him a big old handshake, you know. And I see all the other kids. I see Pastor Sarah and Pastor Marcus, and I'm like super excited to see them. They're excited to see me. You know, it's I went to a Catholic church for like 6 years when I was between the ages of like 5 to 12. And I don't think I ever once talked to the priest there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or ever once talked to any of they never came up and talked to me, you know? And I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm a priest or a pastor or somebody who is a leader in the church, I'm gonna make those kids a priority. You know what I mean? And like, cause that's our youth. Like,
yeah.
Like Radiant Church, like, they start, making disciples out of the kids when they're 2 years old. Like they start teaching them the gospel and everything. Yeah. And when they're 2 years old, so that by the time they're like 5 or 6, hopefully that they understand the gospel. I mean, I'm pretty positive that if we keep going to this church, which we will, by the time Dax is like between 6 and 10, he'll probably know more about the gospel than I ever will, you know?
I read the Book of Concord last month.
Yeah.
And Luther talks about that as well. And I thought it was fascinating. I was like, cause there's a whole, you know, he has his morning prayers, his night prayers, prayers for eating and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the children, as soon as they can speak, should be speaking these prayers and like learning Jesus and should have these memorized and this. And yep. Like, by the time you're 12 years old, you should be able to recite what, and I was like, holy cow. I was like, that's wild. But then, when you look more into Judaism as well, like, they grow up learning Hebrew and reading the Torah.
You need to
be able to recite for your bar mitzvahs when you're 12 or 13, I think. And
you have to memorize the 5 books of Moses, I believe.
Yeah, the Torah, which is the first.
The Torah. Five, and then after, if you continue on with your studies, you have to memorize the entire
Old Testament,
which is also called, what's the Old Testament called as well? Not the first 5 books is called the Torah, but the whole,
and then, yeah, because
Tanaka,
because Torah
or something.
Torah is Hebrew for law. It's the law and the prophets, essentially.
Yeah.
I forget the Hebrew word for.
I want to say like the second part of the new Old Testament is called like the Tanaka or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah. There's way more dutiful like learning and your and you know, I was thinking about that too, and we still kind of had that up until like, I want to say like the 60s, maybe there was 70s, there was more, your family, you know, talks more about Jesus and you pray at dinner and you're sitting down actually at a dinner table together and you're doing, like, there was much more faith within the community, within your household. And in the last 30-40 years, it is just drastically dropped off, in my opinion. And like Pastor, like Marcus was saying today, you know, the words we say have been dumbed down, and we don't talk about God really anymore. We say like "awesome, dude" all the time, and like "awesome." You know, it was crazy. Like it was blinding to your whatever. You know,
yeah.
Louis C.K. has a bit about that in his hilarious episode when he's talking about, oh, it was hilarious. Like the laughter brought you to where you almost died. That was hilarious. And he's like, and it was this big dude, and he said it like, that's hilarious. Like it just oozed out of his mouth. It was, you know, I'm sorry. Anyway, that that's very hilarious. ADD, but yeah.
No, that's funny.
Yeah. That was hilarious. Yeah.
So we were talking about the Old Testament. I got to go back because I Googled it. I don't know exactly. It's spelled Tanakh or the Hebrew Bible. Tanakh.
The Tanakh.
Is an acronym for the three main sections of the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah, you're close. Yep. Yeah, Tanakh. Yeah.
The Torah, the law, the Nevim, the prophets, and Ketuvim, the writings. Interesting.
Nevim, yeah. The law and the prophets, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah.
Because then, yeah, the Sadducees, I believe, only cared about the Torah, I think.
I think this, yeah, the Sadducees.
Like the Pharisees
had it all.
Had the whole Old Testament. And so, because I remember,
Sadducees, yeah, because the Sadducees, I remember. It's funny.
We could be completely wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's the Sadducees, because I remember, this is the only reason I remember this, is from The Chosen, the book of the show The Chosen. Mm-hmm. Jesus is, the Sadducees asked him to
do a reading.
They
were like, pick your book.
Pick your book, and he goes, they're missing out on so much. I'm like, yeah, they are.
Yep.
Just wait until that new release comes out.
Yeah. Jesus is like, I'm going to drop my single.
Yeah, I'm going to drop
this. It comes out in 3 days.
Drop this new album. It comes out pre-release in 3 days.
Yeah.
pre-release on day one and then full release 3 days later.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I'm missing out on so much.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, also blows my mind, trying to offend anybody, but like, there's so many things in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus and like talk about what's going to happen to the Messiah, and that there will be a light that comes to Galilee in the form of man. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah.
Yeah, there's a lot of prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah.
That's just what confuses me. Like, is Jesus just a really well kept secret in the Jewish world, or do people of Judaism just don't want to believe in Jesus? Like, I guess I'm not sure why they don't think he's the Messiah.
If they're Jewish, they don't believe in...
They believe the Messiah is still coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not Jesus.
That's not Jesus.
Jesus was a man and a false prophet, the same way that Islam still feels about Jesus, he was just a man and a false prophet.
They think he was a good prophet. They just don't think he was God. That's the Islamic belief. But like, I'm going to believe Jesus over Muhammad, because Muhammad married a 9-year-old or a 12-year-old and like killed people.
One also is dead.
Yeah.
Didn't come back.
And then he's also dead, dead, like gone forever. Goodbye.
That was another thing. Oh, but sorry, the Jewish, the Mosaic law, Moses.
Yeah.
So it's following still Moses and Mosaic law.
And like, because there's a lot of ceremonial laws in Leviticus that basically Jesus was like, hey, I'm the last sacrifice, so like all those ceremonial laws, get out of here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it fulfilled the law. Fulfill the law.
Exactly. Like people are like, oh, you can't get tattoos, you can't do this, you can't do this. I'm like, listen, there's some laws that we still follow, right? And then there's ceremonial laws. Those are basically the laws that, hey, you broke this law, you got to sacrifice an animal to atone for it. Those laws, you're good, dog.
he died. He sacrificed himself for you, for your sins.
Like, if you sacrifice anything to God afterwards, it's essentially you saying that Jesus didn't do enough.
Yeah.
That's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking up that, because I thought about it. And I was like, well, make no graven images and make no images before me. And I was like, well, we have, like, you go into any church and there's a statue of Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's... Or statues of Mary, or the cross. Like, I wear a necklace with the cross.
Yep.
Like, I was like, are these not graven images? And I had to look into it. And it's like, well, you're not worshiping that thing. Like, you're not worshiping physically that statue. That is not your God. It is in memorial. It's a representation of the God that you're worshiping. And I was like, oh. They were like, no. Back then, people used to make statues like the golden calf. And they were like, they prayed to the statue, not to a cat, like cow god, to the statue.
Yeah, what literally.
They were worshiping. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, they weren't, it's not like they were praying to what the statue represents. They were praying, like, literally the statue.
The actual,
the statue was literally their god.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is this? I think it's in 1 Corinthians. I was reading something the other day that, like, so I was, it's funny how things work. I was, where is it? Oh, no. Am I gonna find it? Oh, there it is. Okay. So I was like, okay, so my wife, she gave birth, about a month and a half ago, and she just got cleared for sexual activity again, right?
Nice.
So my wife and I, we had some plans, of course.
My wife.
But I was kind of like, man, like, I'm feeling like really like lustful. Like, this is kind of weird. Like, it's like, I haven't, like, my wife and I haven't like slept together in a while because she gave birth, you know? And I was like, I need to, like, of course I want to have sex with my wife. Don't get me wrong, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to like read up on some stuff. So I literally opened my Bible to this, and it literally Corinthians chapter 7, and the heading on it says concerning married life. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna read that.
Yeah.
And just let me, so I was, my main question going into it was like, how often do I have sex with my wife? And is it bad to have sex with my wife if it's not for the means of conception? Right. That's what I was kind of worried about.
Yeah.
And so I read this, I'm just going to read it. It's kind of long, but it says, now for the matters that you wrote about, it is good for a man to not have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immortality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent, and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So from what I got from that is, okay, my wife and I are married. We are one flesh. Her body is not her body. My body is not my body. We are one flesh.
Yeah.
We can have sex as much as we want, as long as we are both want to. Like, that's what I got from that. Like, I was like, as long as we both want to have sex and be love and be in that intimate situation with each other, that is perfectly okay, because that we're a man and wife, and we're meant to do that. So that brought me a lot of comfort after reading that.
I think that's also one of the main, and I know there's others, but that it is one of the main points of why Luther was like, why can't priests be married?
Right.
They were like, no, literally nowhere in there does it say, like, he's like, on the contrary, in 1 Corinthians 7.
Yeah, it says, literally.
Because, like, we know that
you want to be immoral.
Well, yeah. And so to help, like, God's like, well, to help you, marry this lady.
Yeah,
like,
right. Literally. Hey, yeah. How about to help you? Here's a wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, and I was reading that verse to my wife, and she raised her eyebrows when I was like, where is it? The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. And I look up at my wife, and she was like, had her eyes raised at me.
Yeah.
And I said, but in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Essentially, like, one flesh. Yeah. You know?
It's the same in Proverbs 31 when they're talking about the Proverbs 31 wife.
And biblical how, wife.
Yeah. Yep. But it even says, like, you give yourself and your body up to your husband just as your husband gives up to the church, I believe.
Yeah.
Up to God.
Yeah.
I haven't read it in a while. It popped in my head of like, I think that is the same. I'm not sure.
Also, like, one thing I'd like to, we were talking to Andy after, Bible study today.
Memorizing guy.
Yeah. Memorizing, scripture. Like, that sounds like something, cause like, seriously, at night, I will literally be sitting in bed and being like, man, I wish I could read my Bible right now, but I don't want to listen to it. You know, I don't want that noise. I just want to be able to read it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know enough scripture off the top of my head to just be able to like go through a chapter. You know, I know about the first half of John chapter 1, but like, I'd love to be able to just like pull out verses in my head while I'm laying in bed and be like, oh, get that comfort, you know, and like, and be able to like when somebody's talking about a verse, be able to like, hey, like that. What's from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, or what's his name? The guy.
I think I only saw that once. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, he leans forward on the TV. He goes, "Oh, hey, whoa."
Yeah,
and he's pointing at the TV. Yeah. So it's like when somebody says a verse, I want to be like be able to go like, "Oh, that. Oh, wait, I know that." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds like super interesting to me to be able to memorize verses. I'm really interested to see what he's got to say about that next month. But
yeah. That's why I memorized the Apostles' Creed, and I'm trying to memorize the Nicene Creed and all the, because we go through them every week, and we read off the screen, and then if the person who's controlling the screen like doesn't move it quick enough, the whole church stops talking except for like two people will keep going, and it was like, crap, like I feel, make me feel terrible, like I'm a terrible Christian, like yeah, those two people
haven't memorized
know it. Yeah. Yeah, and then when I after reading the Book of Concord and Luther was like, oh, like children should know this and you don't, what is wrong with you, like
yeah.
And so yeah, I made it a point to memorize these creeds and wow, these passages, and
that's true. I saw a thing similar to that, not biblical, but a guy was handing out constitutions on a college campus.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, very cool. I think all the college kids, everybody in America should know the Constitution 100%.
Yeah.
So he was handing out constitutions to these guys, and then this guy came up to him and started yelling at him. He's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Why are you handing out constitutions?" He goes, "Well, everybody needs to know the Constitution." He goes, "Yeah, but you're handing them out to college students." He's like, "These are constitutions for third graders." And he goes, "Okay." He goes, "Well, yeah. So why are you handing them out to college kids?" And he goes, "Okay, close it." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "What's the Third Amendment?" What's the Fifth Amendment? What's the Bill of Rights? And he goes, "Okay, open that up and start reading it."
Yeah.
I was like, dang, that's so true. You know, it's like, so it's like a third grader
yeah,
knows all that, but this college kid doesn't.
Well, know? And that was Luther's whole point. He was like, you know, you can read the entire Bible and you read all this. He's like, but if, you know, you're trying to tell somebody or talk to somebody or really get into God, he's like, all right. So you take like the Apostles' Creed, and it is it's the whole reason for living and your whole reason for Jesus and the Bible. It's, you know, I believe in the God, Father Almighty, and in his son, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
See, God, that's why I want to memorize it. But it's like, literally, it goes through.
Is that only like a Lutheran thing, or is that I've never heard of it, but.
Yeah, that's, no, that is.
It kind of sounds familiar, but
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
So like that's
just
the
gospel.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's here's the gospel in right there.
Yeah. Like, so it's yeah, like, yeah, so that's something you pray over, like you pray in front of like new believers and stuff like that. And just in general,
every morning and every night,
okay,
at least according to Luther, it yeah, was, you should have these memorized, and each morning, and each night I've gone through where I read the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and then the morning prayer, or the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the evening prayer.
Huh.
And so I've just been trying to get into that mode.
Yeah. Interesting.
And it's a whole like declaration of faith. And
yeah.
And so for each one of our services, we say either the Nicene or the Apostles, which they're pretty much the same. The Nicene has a little bit more. There's more context and depth to it. But it's so that every week you are professing your faith. You are proclaiming that I believe in Jesus, you know, the
yeah,
Son of God, and I, you know, and I am not worthy and all this. And so it's really that, I feel, is way more than a lot of, I don't know, I don't know. Sorry, I didn't want to.
No, it's
yeah, that is why I like my church.
Yeah.
And because it's like, okay, we are here to to profess Jesus.
Yep.
Like, and we're saying it and we're doing this. And like, I like that. That's why I like the order and the religion, the structure of it, because it's like, okay, we're going through, but that's the problem, is that a lot of people go through the motions. And if you don't go through the motions and you really sit and think about what you're saying and what you're doing, you're like, holy cow. Like, yeah, I'm professing God. I am proclaiming this. I am eating the body and blood of Christ.
Yep.
And it's, yeah, it's really neat.
Sorry,
Jesus is cool, man.
Jesus is awesome, dude. Jesus is awesome. I love that. And I love when services and churches, their whole point is Jesus, right? There's been too many times where different churches, priests, pastors, whatever, they get so caught up in the rules. Are you doing the right thing? Are you doing this right? Are you doing this right? Are you doing this right? It's like, dog, do you love Jesus? All right. Yeah, you do. That's cool. Awesome. You're doing the right thing. You know, like,
yeah,
he'll do the rest. You know, like, put your faith in Jesus and he'll do the rest. Like, it's like my grandmother, like, bless her heart, but she, like, I will accidentally swear one time and she'll be like, Hayden, you need to go beg for forgiveness. I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, dog, no. You know, it's like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I ask God for forgiveness all the time, you know, and, but, like, when I feel convicted, but, like, there's, all right, Hayden, you can't eat meat on Fridays. I'm like, what? Why not? And she's like, well, we just don't, Catholics don't do that. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna go have some chicken, you know? It's like, and, like, there's so many rules and stuff that's like, my grandma specifically is focused on following all the rules of Catholicism and not following Jesus. And I explained it to her all the time about, like, what baptism is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was at her house the other day and she came up to me and she was like, Hayden, I asked Bishop, whatever his name is, about baptism because you had so many questions. I said, no. I was like, I had the answers. You had the questions.
Yeah.
And she kind of rolled her eyes at that. And she goes, she looks at me with like a gotcha. Like, you know, when somebody thinks like, oh, I gotcha. She goes, so we have to get baptized at birth because of our original sin. And like looks at us and goes like, gotcha. And I'm like, no.
Well, no. So that with that we can debate because as... I forget where it's at. I'll have to find it because that is a subject I do want to do.
There is. Baptism. So we do have original sin.
We do have original sin.
Because of Adam and Eve.
Yeah. But even more so, when you are baptized, and I think John the Baptist is the one who says it.
The book of John?
No, just John the Baptist.
Oh, okay. I know, but
I don't know where it's at. I got to find it.
Okay.
But just when we are baptized, all who are baptized become children of God.
Yeah.
And so... because you're becoming a child, it doesn't matter what age you're baptized at. And so,
but you can't, baptism really can't happen. The whole point of baptism is like you're transitioning, you're getting rid of your old life and turning, you're giving your new life to Jesus and all that. And it's kind of like it's a outward expression of an inward work, you know? And like baptism itself doesn't save you, but like when you're a baby, you can't like accept Jesus fully in your, like, you don't have to accept Jesus. There's nothing in the Bible that says accepting Jesus in your heart, but like you can't repent fully as a baby, and you can't be like, oh, I'm going to get rid of that old life and give my life to Jesus as a baby. So like, I look at like the Catholic baptism almost as like a, hey, like welcome to the church, you know, like, hey, it's almost like a dedication. I look at it, you know, and then like, later on in the Catholic faith, when you go through your first communion and all that, that's essentially more of their, I guess, biblical like baptism. I'm using quotes because they don't really do any water or anything like that with it. But like, and that's when, I mean, because I went through first communion when I was like 10. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? But like, that was supposed to be my whole giving my life to Jesus in the Catholic Church. And like afterwards I was like, cool, can we get out? Like, where's my presents, you know? And I got money for my first communion. I was like, oh, that's cool, you know? And my grandma seems to like have this belief that you can follow Jesus all you want your whole entire life, but if you're not like baptized in the Catholic Church, you're not saved. You can't be saved unless you're like baptized by a priest. And I was like, grandma, that's just like,
well, so you have to be baptized.
You have to be baptized, yeah. But yeah, the baptism itself can take place however.
Yeah.
Like literally, I can literally go to the end of a dock and say, Lord, I give my life to you. And just be like, I give my life to Jesus and dive into that water. And like, no, and as long as I know that when I come out of that water, I'm not going to be the same person. Like that's a valid baptism in the Bible. And I mean, John the Baptist, I mean, like he was just dunking people in the water. Like, yeah. He's just in the Jordan. He's like, come on over. Yo, he's like, you love God? Good. You going to change? Cool. You know? And then like Jesus comes up to him and is like, no, baptize me. And John's like, yo, what? No, baptize me, please.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be the same way if Jesus came up to me and was like, yo, baptize me. I'd be like, are you crazy? I'm like, yeah. No, you are the Lamb of God.
And that's what I always thought, too. I thought, like, the priest or the pastor had to baptize you. But I was, again, reading within Concord that there if as long as you've already been baptized and you have Christ in your heart, like, or essentially, you know.
Yeah, you've accepted Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you are allowed and have the authority to baptize anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's in, like if you read in the Lutheran hymnal, there's a part in there for emergency baptisms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's like, they're like, technically anybody, as long as you've accepted Christ and have been baptized, can baptize another person. Yeah. And like, they're like, say these, you know, and go through it. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's really neat. Like,
now here's another question. So I've heard a lot of people explaining different like baptisms when they, because like baptism can just happen when you don't expect it as well. Like there was I heard a story of a girl who was taking a shower and she just was like in the middle of her shower was like super convicted and just gave her life to Jesus in the shower, and like that's what she calls her baptism. Like she was, because like after she got out of that shower she was completely different, you know. I guess my question is, was the guy on the cross next to Jesus just a one-time thing, like, oh, you didn't get baptized, you're good though, but you're good, you're still coming to heaven with me? Or do you think that like even if you don't like get water baptized, I know it says in the Bible like many things like go and be baptized, repent and be baptized, like do you think that like if somebody were to just like say like, okay, like they get into a car accident, say, okay, they get into a wicked car accident,
yeah.
And before they get into that car accident, they're thinking about Jesus. They're kind of debating it, right?
Yeah.
And then they get out of that car accident, and they're alive, and they get out and they praise Jesus, and they are a completely different person after they get out of that car accident. Was that car accident their baptism?
It's an interesting way to think about it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I know, and I keep saying it, like I just read it, and I remember the chapter on baptism, but I don't, it's like, gone at the moment. I'd have to bring it back up. So I'm not positive, but what I do know is that continually Jesus keeps saying that only through me are you allowed in heaven, and only through me will you find eternal life. And so there's argument to say that, you know, even if you're not baptized, as long as you accept Christ and believe in Christ the second before you die, you know, because I've heard, and I don't know what episode it was, but it was on Ringside Preachers where they were talking, and they're all Lutheran pastors, and they were talking about, you know, a suicide. What about like somebody who committed suicide? And they were like, well, like what if in the last second as they're bleeding out or something, like, you know, they repented and took Christ in their heart. Like, are they still going to go to hell? Are they, you know, and they were kind of like, well, I don't know. Like, it would probably still be like, as long as you're for Jesus and you kill, like, it's a real weird gray area, but I would imagine that he'll accept you back because in your heart you've repented. Like,
so so either you're either with Jesus or you're against him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can't imagine if you love Jesus but don't get baptized that he's going to be like, now you're against me.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like even like, even if for some reason you didn't want to get baptized, you're like, no, I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, literally it says it in the Bible so many times. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to want to get baptized. But for some weird thing, if you're like allergic to water or like you're deathly afraid of water or something, or afraid of crowds, afraid of standing up in front of people or something like that, and you don't get baptized, I don't think that, like, I don't think Jesus is going to say, oh, yo, you didn't get baptized. I think it's more of going to be like a, like, oh, you didn't get baptized. That's cool. Like, welcome up, you know? But like, I think,
yeah,
but I think like, Baptism is important. I'm not trying to say it's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not super important. It's one of those weird gray areas that it's going to be kind of, well, extenuating circumstances, yada, yada.
You know? I think overall baptism is so important for, honestly, not for the person getting baptized. I think baptism is so important for the people witnessing. Because, like, the people witnessing, like, I have army buddies who tell me all the time, they're like, dude, you are not the same person. I go, yeah, I know, that's the point. You know, and like Hayden 3 years ago would look at Hayden now and I would want to beat me up. I'd be like, this guy is exactly everything I don't want to become, you know? And now here I am, that guy. And I'm like, dog, Hayden 3 years ago was dumb. Hayden 3 years ago was also at war. So that was also another reason I was dumb. But age, man, you learn so much growing up, and I never realized it when I was in my early 20s, but now I'm in my late 20s and I'm still young, super young, you know?
Yeah.
But I look back at when I was like 23, 24 going, oh my gosh, I was so dumb.
Oh yeah. Yep,
and I have my buddies who are 23, 24 and I don't tell them like, hey, you're dumb, you know, but I'm like, hey, just wait a little bit, like grow up a little bit. And they're like, oh, what do you mean? You don't think I'm mature? And I'm like, I'm not saying you're not mature, but I'm saying that you're 24 years old. Like you have to grow up a little bit. Like you just have to wait. Unfortunately, like as much as you can't force experience, you know, life experience, like it just has to happen. And like so much has happened to me since I was 24, in the last 3 years, I've been to war, had two kids, gave my life to Jesus, I guess 3.5 years, bought a house, you know, got a dog,
started a business,
got a whole family like started and everything, you know. And also shameless plug, HC Drywall, Bay City, Michigan.
Yeah. HC Drywall for all your drywall needs.
There you go. So much can happen in 3 years. You know, and I tell my friends who are in their early 20s and they think their life is ending. Like one of my buddies, he's 24 years old. He's divorced. Actually, he's 23. Divorced, has two kids, and doesn't know what he's doing. And I was like, dude, like just, I literally told him, he called me the other day like crying. And I was like, dude, hey, listen, I'm going to give you the best advice. And he's just like, great. Here comes Jesus talk, you know, because everybody knows me. And I said, you're going to go home, you're going to download the YouVersion, and you're going to start with John. And he goes, okay. And then, yeah, I think I told you all this already. Yeah. And then he opened up his Bible app and it said, oh my gosh, why does it start with John chapter 1? You know? Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, sorry. I was repeating a story there, but I'm done.
Okay. No, you're good. Yeah, it's cool. A lot of stuff has happened. The maturity thing, I think, is more so when you start to realize and accept that I don't know everything. I've been doing things wrong. I need to be better. And I feel like that is maturity, at least in my experience.
I would agree.
And I would hope that everybody out there can have that type of
accountability,
revelation, realization, epiphany that,
yeah,
yep, like you are not perfect. I am not perfect. We are not perfect.
There was only one person who was ever perfect.
Absolutely. And we need
Jesus.
And we need him. And we need to ask him. And it's not our fault, or it's not all on us. We need to release and forgive ourselves, as Marcus was talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to forgive ourselves and take these weights off and ask Jesus for help. And I appreciate you and your help. And thank you so much for joining us today and all of our ramblings. We really appreciate you. And we just ask Jesus to help us be humble, be patient, and be kind. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us for another episode. Always stay positive. Always look to the light. And always remember, there is one love, and that is His. Peace be with you, and always with you.
Did you enjoy this episode? Then check out more at 99.network, Mid-Michigan's premier podcast network.